Glad to be in church tonight. Does that love you? Y'all glad to be in church tonight? It's amazing somebody changed your mind in 4 seconds right there. Praise God. That's wonderful. I know I don't need this microphone to preach in a room this small. Y'all know my voice is plenty strong enough. But we've been getting a lot of requests. People want us to send them these messages that have been preached in the mission around the country. So I'm going to try to, they're trying to record these messages as I preach them. Different ones preach them so people around the country can get these messages. So that's why the use of the microphone. It's not because I'm trying to blow anybody out or anything. I'm trying to be careful not to overdo it up here. Please remember to pray. Those of you that are regulars here, you've been here several times, know that we're missing some tonight. Brother Art's real bad sick. He was in the hospital earlier today. Got pneumonia. Blood pressure is way out of whack. Sister Summers was in. And Spencer's wife, you know, I'm sure she'd be here if she can. We'll be here along the way or something. So remember all this. If you're looking around and wonder where all the workers are, there was a special deal with Bethany Church tonight. A lot of them got to go to that, and that's fine. We enjoy different people, guests, and visitors. We like our home folks, but we want to have church no matter what, because God's always in this house. And I appreciate seeing everybody. I appreciate Christy and Ronnie being here. I ain't got to see them for quite a while. And a new friend that I just forgot his name, remind me, Shane. Me and Shane took a trip halfway around the world back, and I already forgot his name. But just everybody that's here, if you've never been here before, make yourself at home and try to be as comfortable as you can through my preaching. And just let's see what the Lord would do for us. If you've never been in Holy Church or been around Pentecostal preaching, especially if you've never been around my preaching, this is going to be different. That's okay. We like different. I want to preach to you tonight. Something I've been studying on for a couple of weeks, looking at, working with, and I feel like the Lord has helped me for a little while. If I could just have your attention. Believe it or not, this is what I'm preaching on. The title of my sermon tonight is The Possibilities of the Great Heart-Pounding, Soul-Piercing, Mind-Penetrating Power of the Pen Through Poems, Prose, and Other Forms of Poetry. That's what I'm preaching today. Did y'all get all that? I'm ready to say it again. The possibilities of the heart-pounding, soul-piercing, mind-penetrating power of the pen through poems, prose, and other forms of poetry. We have words in the English language and in every language that we deduce power just from that word itself. There are words that are designed to sound like they mean something more than other words. When we say words like kill and death, that grips us with a certain feeling because of that word. When we say words like mercy and grace, that feels different than kill and death. The power of the word, just the meaning of the word. And you know, y'all been in a room before around a certain kind of people, and you use the word prostitute or drug addict, and it brings a certain feeling into the room. But you can use a word like Sunday school or saint, and it brings a whole different feeling into the room. We have words that move things in us and stir us in certain ways. Words like justice and freedom and liberty. Just saying those words almost in the right context makes me want to stand up and salute or something. I don't know what to do. It feels patriotic to say freedom. They're talking about justice and liberty. I picture already the American flag waving in my mind, you know. Words have power. When people like Martin Luther King Jr. and John F. Kennedy learned the power of words. They were able to sway congregations and move multitudes and really change countries. Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream." And millions of people got a hold of those words and they thought of that word dream. Dream sounds like it has hope in it. Dream sounds like there's a future in it. Dream sounds like it can get better than it is right now. And so he said, "I have a dream." Abraham Lincoln used words like 67 years ago. When he started talking like that, people started thinking nostalgic. They started thinking historical. They started thinking through their memories 67 years ago. Our forefathers, they started thinking back on what got us to this place. Even when a man like Adolf Hitler wrote a book called Mein Kampf, and the words Mein Kampf translated into English are "my struggle." And he wrote a book and it changed half the world because it was titled "My Struggle." And when they heard that word struggle, they thought of battle. They thought of fighting back. They thought of raising up against because of the power of the words. When Winston Churchill made the statement and used these words, "We'll fight on the beaches." And he began that great sermon that he gave to his country about fighting on the beaches and fighting in the streets and never giving up. And he encouraged the entire country of Great Britain with the power of his words. Many, many different men have used the power of words. When FDR said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." When Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your country." When Ronald Reagan, when I was a senior in high school, everybody thought he was just some wishy-washy, lukewarm president that didn't have a backbone, didn't have faith, didn't have purpose, and had no meaning. But he stood up in Berlin and he said, "Tear down this wall." Those words rang out all over the world, and those words began the process of the USSR falling and crumbling all the way to its knees in front of freedom and liberty and justice. But there's been many other words that were used by great men, men like Newton, when he wrote the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Think about some of those words. Amazing grace, sweet wretch. Words have power. Words have meaning. These were all great, moving, stirring words in their own ways, but they all came from somewhere. They came from the heart of man, where a seed was planted by God to create and express. And the seed has served God's purpose for thousands of years. And probably, no doubt, here within the sound of my voice tonight are many people that write poetry or read poetry or have liked poems or you know, maybe wrote a poem. When do you normally write a poem? In your life, when have you normally written a poem? When something gripping and desperate and moving and serious was going on. I'll read some poems to you. Can I do that? I wrote a book in 1992. It was published nationally for several years. And I copied a page out of my book. And it said this: "There is a human being, young in mind but old in heart. This human, let's just call her Beth. Beth lived in a small room and really didn't do very much. Beth was generally content and happy, but sometimes she had a longing to bust out and really become somebody. Most of the time, Beth stayed calm, believing that one day she would get her big chance. One day, while just sitting back and relaxing in her cozy, tight little quarters, Beth noticed an odd change in her simple lifestyle up to this point. Her room where she sat was shaking as if an earthquake were taking place. Then, without warning, a large piece of metal came crashing through the wall and struck her. As Beth peered around, she felt extreme pain and soon noticed that her right arm had been severed from her body. Young Beth then realized that the metal was coming crashing towards her again. The metal was cold and hard and unlike anything the cross before. It cut her head and her back severely this time. Beth could do nothing aside from lie there in her little room, bleeding, screaming, and going delirious. Eventually, Beth met her own lonely, agonizing death. Beth never got her big chance to become somebody because Beth was aborted. The power of words. The power of the English language to use to grip your mind, make you think thoughts you don't want to think and feel feelings you never intended to feel. Let me read you another poem that was written by a young lady that prayed in this altar just a few weeks ago. My Lord has been so gracious to me. He has opened my eyes so now I can see. What was faded and dark has become clear in my heart. When it is cold, He keeps us warm through the rain and through the many storms. Wanting to let go, Jesus kept faith in our souls. Striving to live day by day, still I continued to pray. Our Lord has been so patient and kind. There's no other love like Jesus' love you will ever find. Our Lord has been so gracious to you and to me. And now that I have found Him, I've been set free. Praise God. One more. A lady that I dealt with for some time would understand and appreciate this poem so well. Sister Rose, I believe, handed me this poem the other day of a woman that had struggled and battled with trying to get her life straightened out and had some horrible problems with drugs and alcohol, wound up in prison and found Jesus in prison. Or in jail, maybe it's a county jail. And this is what she wrote. She said, I looked for you in a bottle. I looked for you in some pills. I looked for you in a man. And nothing still. I looked for you in a pipe. I looked for you in every puff. I look for you in white powder, and that still was not enough. But you were there all along in all my writings and all my songs. I would talk to you, but not even know that you were right here deep down in my soul. You wouldn't let me die, or for one moment forget you were there. I just kept messing up, thinking that no one even cared. Looking back now, it seems so weird not remembering all along. It was you that I feared. You were all I had left. The only one who knew that I was here for a purpose with so much more to do. You had to lock me up and throw away the key. Yet it was behind those bars you finally set me free. Oh, praise God. Y'all understand the power of words. The power of the English language. The Bible is built around the power of words. God knows poetry too. Have you ever heard this poem that God wrote? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What poetry. Praise God. Talk about moving you. Talk about stirring you. Talk about reaching deep down inside and getting a hold of something. I've been in the lowest points. I've been on Skid Row in San Francisco. I've been on cocaine. I've been addicted to alcohol and trying to get off. I've been separated from my wife for 7 months. I've been laying in a hospital bed when they told my dad and my wife that I would die there and there was no hope for me. But words like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, stirred something in me, made me feel like there was still a chance. Words like, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, gave me hope when there shouldn't have been hope. Purpose when there didn't seem to be purpose. God wrote some beautiful prose, just like in Psalms 61 when he said, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Selah. Think of some of those words. Abide. Words that have meaning like forever. You ever use that word? It's not like you're really saying something. You say, "I will love you forever." You ever looked in the eyes of one of your little children when they say, "Mommy, Daddy, will you ever stop loving me?" And you reach into your understanding of the human language and come up with a word like that and you say, "I will love you forever." The power in words, if we choose them correctly. God understands the power of language. That is why he called preachers to preach. Jesus had a perfect grasp of the power of the English language. He knew what he was doing when he used words, when he spoke to the evil hypocrites of that day, when he used words like vipers, called them sepulchers. He talked to the little ones and he said, "Suffer the little children." He spoke of the Holy Spirit of God. He called him a dove. He knew the power. When he wanted to refer to God's anointing, he said the word fire. Fire is something that's alive. It moves. It jumps around. It's active. So when you want to talk about the active Spirit of God, he said, the Holy Ghost and fire. When Jesus explained that the New Testament was written in his blood, think of that power. No longer just the power of the Word, but the power of the blood with the Word. And not just the power of the blood, but the power of the blood written in the Word. As if God pulled up a mighty redwood off of the western coast of California, turned it upside down and dipped it in that everlasting flow of the blood of Christ, and began to pen and write special words with the Holy Ghost inkling and unction. God himself wrote things like, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Words in the English language like labor and heavy and rest are already inspiring, but this time they have the power of the blood behind them. He wrote phrases like, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Using words like care and cast. He wrote words like, "He who believes on him hath everlasting life." When somebody uses the word life in your presence, life! It almost makes your eyes open just a little wider. It almost makes the blood run just a little faster. Life! And then to top it off with a word like everlasting. Even mere words can help in some situations because there's power in words. You can tell somebody that you hate their guts. You can say, "I love you." And they feel a little better. Come on right here. You can walk up to somebody that's dying or their marriage is breaking apart or something horrible's happening. You can say, "It's going to be okay." And you'd make them feel a little bit better. Even if you're lying like a dog, just because of the power of the words. But when God said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," some believed, some didn't. Some wanted to, some couldn't. But even Thomas, when he saw, "You did this for me, you paid the price for me." See, regular words are powerful enough, but his words have the power of the death, burial and resurrection behind them. His words are written in blood. Words are merely an expression, but the words have depth of meaning. Words come from the heart, and his heart broke for you, and words come from the soul, and he gave up his soul for you. The Bible said he gave up the ghost for you. Words are from the extent of our love, and the Bible said, "No greater love hath any man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." When God said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," kingdom shall not perish but have everlasting life. It had meaning because the words had meaning, because they had power, because behind them there was an action. One man rightfully said this. He said, your actions speak so loudly that I cannot hear what you are saying. Think about that for just a moment. Your actions speak so loudly that I cannot hear what you are saying. God said it, God meant it, and God did it. This isn't true. This is pretty preaching of things, Pastor, but show me how it applies to life. I'll show you how it applies to life. How many people have said this to you, looked right in your face and said, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. And you were there, and they weren't. How many people looked you right in the eye and said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be here for you. Where are they tonight? How many people said, I got your back, I'm right here for you. Whatever you need, just call on me. And you called on them, and you couldn't find them. Come on now. Some of y'all are starting to get it here just a little bit. I get it all the time. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Pastor Tom won't be there Tuesday night. Okay? Like you were last Tuesday night, and the last Tuesday night, and the last Tuesday night. Come on. Pastor Todd, you give me $5, I'll pay it back tomorrow. Come on! Just words, though they feel good sometimes, though there's even some purpose and intent behind them sometimes, they're not good enough without some action. Lots of people say they love you, but they need action. Lots of people say they're for you, but they need action. Lots of people say, I'm on your side, but it takes action. You can believe the words that Jesus wrote when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You can believe it because it puts some action behind. You can believe it when he said, I love you so much because he died on the cross for you. That's the action behind it. You say, what's the power behind your word? Listen, if I lied to you 50 times and came to you and told you something the 51st time, you have every right not to believe me. I've never proven myself to you. I've never been there when I said I was going to. I've never did anything when I promised I would. But Jesus said he'd be there, and he was. He said he'd do it, and he did. He said he'd love you, and he does. He said he'd pay for it, and he paid it. Everything he said came true. You can open your Bible and find a promise and look somebody and say, I believe that. Because it's right. Because it has power. Not just the power of the language. Not just the power of the English etiquette. But the power of action. The power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has been said that God's word is anointed. It is. It is anointed by God's Spirit, and it is anointed by Christ's blood. And you can believe it above everything else. I wrote some really pretty things in that book. Some of it was true. Some of it wasn't. Some of it came true later. Some of it didn't. But my friend, everything in this book is real. It's right. It's holy, it's just, and it's for you. It doesn't just inspire, it alters. Martin Luther King gave speeches that stirred people. Winston Churchill gave speeches that inspired people. But Jesus said things that don't just inspire and don't just stir, they change people. They completely alter people's courses. You ever been down, blue, depressed, upset, mad, full of anxiety? And you talk to somebody that can talk real good and nice and friendly, and somebody you know, maybe somebody you like, and you get cheered up. You feel a little better. And then you go out, and you go to work, and you go home, and you start going through your regular life, and all the same problems that you were having are still there. All the same trouble you had is still there. All the anxieties, all the addictions, all the downfalls, all the lust, all the pride, it's all still there. And sooner or later, it brings you back down again. Because was an inspiring little talk you had. Yes, that was a moving little speech they gave. I mean, you can go to some of these big places where they can't bring in these guys and pay them thousands of dollars to talk to you and get you all encouraged and all fired up. And sure, you'll feel better for a little while. But unless it changes your circumstance, unless it alters your life, unless you can go in addicted and come out unaddicted, unless you can go in depressed and come out overcoming, unless you can go in with anxiety and come out above the cloud, unless you can go in full of all of that anger and come out with it already released, because all it did was make you feel a little better. But there are words from heaven on high that trickle down from the Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus, and you can hold those promises, believe them, cling to them, pray over them, use them in your favor, and it doesn't just make you feel better, it makes you live better. It doesn't just make you feel better, it makes you walk better, talk better, and act better. The power of the words of Christ are not just the power to inspire, they're the power to change. 13 years ago when I prayed, I was on cocaine. 13 years ago when I prayed, I was addicted to vodka. 13 years ago when I prayed, I despised my life. That preaching that morning, that inspiration that morning, didn't just make me feel better, or I wouldn't be up here 13 years later. It changed it. It changed it. It altered my course. Just words, yeah. Just words. But words that were backed by the action of Christ. These words have the power to completely change a life in a moment. Some words make you feel something, but eventually the something goes away. Why? Because there was no action behind the words. I got stacks of papers in there on my desk with all these inspirational quotes, and you can read them until you're blue in the face. And you can think, boy, that's neat, boy, that's cool, boy, that's right, boy, that feels good. And you can walk right back out that door to your same miserable life you ever had. But there's a different kind of words. There's words that you accept from heaven. There's words when you get down on your knees. And it's not just saying, Pastor Todd, I'll be there Sunday, I promise, I'm not showing up. It's words you mean from the bottom of your heart that you're going to put action behind. And you say, Jesus, help me. Think about those words. Help me. They sound submissive, don't they? They sound like you're giving in to something, don't they? Jesus, help me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus. And you begin to pray like that, and the words are powerful. But if you would put action behind them, they would be altering. The action of sacrifice is the action that gave the power to Christ's words. If Jesus said, I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. It's almost like you can grasp that. You can put you somehow in your mind, you somehow in our feeble understanding, we can almost picture that Jesus really would go with us to death, to 100 years old, to the cancer bed, to all of these places. Jesus said, I'll go with you. We can believe that. He's done so much else. But literally, just pick somebody out of the room here you don't know, and if they walked up to you and said, I'm going to be your friend from now on forever, I'll always be there. How much could you believe that? After how many times you've been burned? After how many times you've been done wrong? After how many times you've been stabbed in the back? After how many times you've been lied to? You're just going to believe Joe Blow off the street, he's going to be your best friend from now on? Words aren't that powerful. But what if somebody said, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to be your friend. I'm on your side. I'll do what it takes to help you as best I can. What if somebody said that? And day after day, week after week, month after month, you can call them and then rush to the hospital. times we said, Lord, I want to do better. And just didn't put the action behind it. How many times have we said, Brother Todd, I really got it this time. I'm going to make it. Failed to put some action behind it. Brother Bill showed up on our doorstep one day telling us how bad, evil, and mean and rotten he was. He said, but I'm changed now. I don't do any of that anymore. I tell you the truth. I said, we'll see. I ain't near as dumb as I look. I don't believe every time somebody telling me so. But I knew that if I gave him long enough period of time, the action would be the power behind the words. Now when they make you mad, he just says, I'll pray for you. Now when somebody he would have punched their skull in, he says, I'll pray for you. Now when they come by and offer the joint or the shin or the bottle, he says, no, I don't do that anymore. Used to catch him downtown causing all kinds of trouble. The other day they caught him downtown passing out tracts. There's action. Action. That is the power behind the words, Brother Irwin. If she keeps talking, that's going to step out for me there in a minute. If you want your words to have lasting, powerful change, you need action. You need to do the same thing that people can believe you and that God can believe you, that God did for you, that you can believe Him. Sacrifice. Well, that's a, think of that word. That even sounds hard. Sacrifice. That makes it sound like, Spencer, I gotta give up something. When I hear that word sacrifice, I start thinking about all the things I want to keep and how to keep them. Sacrifice. Jesus didn't sacrifice his toys. He didn't sacrifice his friends. He didn't sacrifice his feelings. He sacrificed himself. How does anybody know to believe you? Because there's power behind your words. What power? The power of sacrifice. What was done for you was so powerful. And the words explain it and stir you and move you. But let me tell you something tonight, friend, and I'm closing right now. If the word of God, the word of the preacher, the word of the service, the word of the Bible, if all it does is the same thing this poetry did, the same thing that Reagan and Churchill and Kennedy and King did, just make you feel a little better for a few minutes, it's a waste. It's wasted power. It's wasted sacrifice. But if the power behind the Word of God inspires you, moves you, encourages you to change, then the power of the blood of Jesus Christ made its way into your life and did exactly what it's supposed to do. I know it's hard. I'm not a fool. I realize the struggles and the battles of addictions and relationships and the way you were raised and all this. I understand that. I really do. But you get to make the choice. Just be inspired for a minute. Just feel different for a while. Change. Change! What does it do in your heart, your mind, your soul? When you hear the word change. You know that word change was moved, was used in this last election more than any other word in the entire election. It was all about change. Thousands of people went to the polls and voted for Barack Obama. Didn't know what he stood for. Didn't know what he was going to do. Didn't know where he came from. Didn't know who he was. I don't care. I'm just sick of the way I'm living and I want change. That's what he offered. mercy. Can God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Stand with us all over this earth. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. I feel like it was appointed of God that you're here in this service tonight, my friend. Maybe you're not used to preaching like this. Maybe you've never been talked to like this. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's a God in heaven that loves you. He's for you. He's on your side. He's trying to help you. He sends encouraging words. He sends enlightening songs. He sends uplifting sermons. But there has to come a point, my friend, that your words become like His words. They have power behind them because of action. God didn't just say He will send His Son. He turned right around and sent Him. Jesus didn't just say it would be a lot of love if a man laid down his life for his friends. He went ahead and did it. You can be changed. Not just inspired. Not just uplifted. But whatever problems you drug in here, you can leave at this altar. And you can skip right on out that door, feeling so much lighter, so much less burdened, because the power of the words of Christ. I'm going to ask you a question right now. We're going to pray. Are you here tonight? No doubt this is your heart's cry right now as you stand there. God, you know my heart. God, you know how I've tried. You've seen me when I was down. You've watched me falter and fall. And you saw me climb back up again, just to fall again. God, I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the battle. I'm still fighting. You know that I am. But God, what's it going to take? What do I have to give? What do I have to do? Where do I have to go? Where's that point in my life, like everybody else's, that I can look back and say, that's where it all happened for me? It's not in the words themselves. It's in the action behind the words. Sometimes our actions are so loud, no one can hear the words we say. Friend, don't make empty promises. Sometimes we make promises and we make them just so we can hear ourselves make them. But come to this altar tonight, bow down on your knees, in your heart, in your mind, you look up to heaven on high. You look to the power of God's words. You look to the power of God's promises. You may not feel a special feeling. You may not do a special thing. You might not hear a special sound, but if you can grab a hold of what God said, to believe Him and strive to live after them, and trust Him for a change in your life, not just the words, but the action will make a difference. If there's somebody here tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed, they would slip up their hand very quickly and slip it right back down. Say, Pastor Tom, would you pray for me? Pastor Tom, I need your help. Yes, I see those hands. I see those hands. You slip up your hand and slip it back down, and you'd say, "Pastor."